everyone. Welcome back to Soul Sugar Podcast. It's your hosts, Carrie
and Alex.
And today we are going to be doing an advice podcast episode. So those of you who listen to Soul Sugar regularly, you're probably familiar. But if you are new here, I'll explain a little bit how these episodes work. We have you guys send in scenarios or situations that you guys would like advice on. We scroll through the emails, we pick a couple out, and today we started definitely seeing a theme with some of the questions, and it seems like today we're definitely going to start diving into life purpose and changes and things that we want to do with our life, which is like the question
of all questions
in our lives. And so I'm excited to chat a bit about that, because I know that this can be a frustrating, overwhelming feeling that we can have throughout our lives and like throughout the entirety of our lives, really. And
it's the eternal question.
Exactly.
It's never really answered.
Also, we were laughing, and this is like such a funny Soul Sugar community moment, because we were going through the emails and all of a sudden I saw an email of my childhood home, and I will explain. In one of the last episodes, if you guys listened all the way through the entire episode, at the end of the episode, we were talking about Ahwatukee, Arizona, which was my childhood home, and I was just like, oh yeah, this is the address. And I just like said it because I don't live there anymore, so it wasn't like a big deal if I said it. And one of our viewers like looked up the address because she lives nearby, and it was only like 3 minutes from her house. So she drove there, took a photo of the house, and she was like, I was risking being a weirdo. And I was like, I totally get that, and that's amazing. And she took a photo of it, and it was so cool to see the photo right now of the house that I grew up in. And I was just like, you're a legend, because...
What's that like? I've always wondered, because my family has lived in the same house for, you know, I was born in that house. They still live there. So I don't know what that feeling like is when you go back to a place that you used to live that somebody else is living in now. It must be kind of a strange feeling.
It is strange. It's nostalgic. Like, you know, the feeling of nostalgia, like, and you're an anomaly. You know, I feel like it's more common to like move a lot throughout your life. Like when I met you and you took me to your childhood home, I was just like, whoa, wow. I think it's special to have your childhood home, but there's also something special about the nostalgia of like looking at your childhood home, right? Like, I think it's more normal to move throughout your life. And I think that people who still have their childhood home, I think that's really special. But I also think that, yeah, it's just a weird feeling to see the house, especially because it looks different now. Mm-hmm. They like painted it. It used to be like the like adobe color, like the pinkish like terracotta color.
I love adobe houses.
Yeah, and then it's white now, and then they changed the whole landscaping, and I have like a, you know how I always talk about like rosemary being the smell of my childhood? Well, there used to be rosemary bushes all over the front yard, and they took them out and put like more like desert vibes, like rocks and cactus.
The eco-friendly garden.
Yeah. So totally get it. And that's very Arizona to have that type of landscaping. But just different to see, and just so funny that someone went and took a photo.
Speaking of nostalgia, last night we watched the sequel to a very nostalgic movie from our childhood. As you know, Carrie and I are millennials. I was born in 1988. And there's a movie. It's available on Disney Plus. This is not sponsored at all. But we watched Hocus Pocus 2. And I just want to ask Carrie, because we kind of talked about it a little bit last night, but I think we have kind of different opinions on
it. You didn't like it. I liked seeing the Sanderson sisters again. I loved the fact that they were able to come together. Freaked me out that they pretty much looked exactly the same.
Well, they're witches, Carrie. Obviously, they haven't aged. They're sucking the souls of young children, and they're, you know, using that for their eternal youth.
Okay, but my logical realist brain is just like,
it's Hollywood, honey.
I'm like, wow, like they looked the same. I thought that was amazing, and it was so cool to see them again in their form, and in their, they're funny. The three of them
it's
are
a good trio.
So funny together. I would personally watch an entire movie of just them going about
more doing Sanderson sisters.
Just 100% Sanderson sisters.
They'll probably do that.
I think there should be a spinoff, Sanderson Sisters, and it's just them in every clip. Just...
Yeah, well, like, what happens when they get sent away? Where are they, you know, in the ether of the other side?
We need, like, to spin off.
We need to go to the upside down of the Sanderson Sisters and find out what's happening in there. And I will say, it's unfair for you to say that I didn't like it. I'm just maybe slightly more difficult to please when it comes to sequels. You know, I think that there's very few sequels out there that have surpassed the original.
You're not alone in that. You are not.
Maybe just The Godfather 2. That's pretty much the only one.
I think that when you recreate something like Hocus Pocus, you're never going to hit it on the mark.
You're never going to have that original magic.
No, the expectations are far too high.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that seeing the Sanderson Sisters again is what everybody wanted out of it. And they got that. And we got that. So I'm pleased in that way. But I will say, would love a spinoff. Waiting for it.
Don't worry. They're going to do it.
Want to know where the girls are at.
Yeah. So, you know, coming into October and definitely wanted to check it out. Saw it getting shared around on social media.
It was actually your idea, which, like, it made my heart beam. Because, like...
Oh, the original is great. You know, I was 5 years old when it came out in 1993.
These are the moments when I realized that I love you. Well, I already know that I love you.
Oh, that's good.
But when it, like, reiterates that I love you, it's like yesterday we're doing, like, our Sunday reset deep clean. And, like, in the middle of the... And the fact that we just do that together, it just, like, brings me a lot of joy. It's the Virgo in me. It's
the Virgo rising in me.
I guess it's the acts of service part of my love language, even though that one was kind of far down on my list. Like, it comes alive sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so us doing that together, and then all of a sudden you being like, Hocus Pocus 2 is out. And I was just thinking to myself, like, after we do a deep clean, we're going to light candles. And then we're going to watch Hocus Pocus 2. And it sounded so fun.
All right. So
it's the little things.
It is the little things. It was all right. You know, it wasn't half bad.
No. But speaking of us being millennials and growing up at the same time, I just find it really cool that we were both born in 88. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, kind of most couples, like, a lot of the time couples are born, like, you know, they're like 2 years, 5 years,
ten
whatever.
Years.
10 years. And so it's cool that we were born the same year, because I feel like our nostalgia, like, when we talk about chat, like, it's very, very much so on the same point, because we were literally going through life.
Yeah, we were driving. We went down to the beach on the weekend and had a super fun day just exploring around, shooting a video as well. But, like, Carrie took my phone and put herself in charge of the tunes and started playing Sublime and got really excited about it. And I was like, that's why I love you, honey.
This thing?
Yeah.
What did I say?
She put on Sublime, What I Got, and she, like, claps and she's like, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then she starts doing this little dance. And I was like, that's the cutest thing I think I've ever seen.
It's like a round.
I don't know what. It's like you're churning a bowl of butter or something.
That was, like, one of the weirdest things I've ever done.
But it was so cute. I was like, this is why I love you.
Well, I'm glad we both had moments like that. Now we're just being cheesy.
Okay. All right. Button it up. Let's
go. Sorry, guys. We are going to get into the episode. So do you want to read the first question?
Not really. Do you?
Sure.
I'm kind of having fun not reading right now.
Okay, well, then I'll read. Here we go. Right. Dear Carrie and Alex, I want to start off by saying you guys are inspiring and I love watching your content. You both have transformed since moving to New Zealand and working on your homestead. It is so lovely to see. Thank you for taking us along on your adventure and sharing your journey with us. I would like to stay anonymous for this submission. I turned 31 this year and have spent the last couple years doing a lot of self-work, self-growth, and feel more grounded in who I am. But lately, I have been struggling with what my purpose in life is. Sometimes I don't feel that I am making enough of a positive impact in this world and have been feeling kind of stuck. I'm not sure what has brought on these feelings. I'm generally a very happy person, but this year I've been struggling on and off with not feeling fulfilled. I don't necessarily know that it's job related, and my marriage with my husband is wonderful, so I don't understand why I can't shake this feeling. Is this something you guys experienced? I appreciate any advice you guys can give. Thank you for reading. This day and age, we have so much access to everybody else's life. And I know that this is something that's talked about quite regularly, but I think it's really important to think about and to realize, because comparison can make us feel like we're not living with purpose and that we're not making a big enough impact. And also the pressure that we put on ourselves. There's so much pressure from so many different outlets in our life, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be the internet, whether it be on ourselves. It is just constant. So sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and get really simple with it and say, okay. And I mentioned this a little bit in a previous podcast episode, but really going back to that, I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm alive, waking up in the morning and saying thank you for another day, and going from there. And that is so simple, and I understand that, but that simple practice leads you to move through each day with more purpose, because you just being who you are, you have purpose in that. That's your purpose, to be who you are and to just be. Now, with that, of course, we're going to have passions and we're going to have layers and more ways that we want to develop ourselves and make more positive impacts. But the more that we follow that intuition that makes us who we are, is the way that we're going to find that path. If we listen to our intuition, if we listen to the things that spark joy in us, that make us happy, you know, for me, like one of the things that I loved to do was starting to grow veggies when we were living in Los Angeles. And that brought me tons of joy. And so I just followed that passion. And it made me feel like I was making a positive impact because I was growing more food, adding to our planet, learning more about like the simplicity of food and growing it myself. And that gave me a lot of purpose. And it can be something so simple like that that can really fulfill you. But you have to listen to that little passion and that spark.
That's great advice. Yeah, I think what I got from your question was that everything is good, but you have this creeping feeling of like, am I enough or am I doing enough? And I think that that is a question that all of us ask, regardless of where we are or who we are. You know, you read articles talking about how some of the most successful people in the world, who by all standards are crushing it on every single level, are still facing those same questions themselves. And so I think it's a universal feeling. I think that especially in this day and age where we have access to an unprecedented amount of information, and we're looking into people's lives and we're seeing how others are doing things, and we're comparing ourselves, we're asking, why am I not doing this? Well, we have to remember that everybody's life is different. Everybody's life situations are different. And when it comes to the question of like you wanting to have an impact, well, I mean, maybe start by asking yourself, what do you want to have an impact on? And if you have a clear answer to that, then the next logical question is, well, how can I begin to have a bigger impact in that? And whether that is volunteering at a local, you know, homeless shelter, or finding ways that you can, you know, give back, being like that program. What is it? The Big Brother program, where you take an underprivileged kid under your wing and you spend, you know, one day a week or one day a month, like taking them out and just trying to give back to the community, like however you can. Hi guys. I will first start by saying that both of you have helped me through the most difficult years of my life so far, 18 to 22, and I can't thank you enough. I'm 22 and I'm currently studying to be a cook in the UK. I chose this program because it was far from my home in the States and because I was starting to feel smothered by my life and job. I just needed space. Although I love my boyfriend of 2 years, he is in the middle of his 20s and has an established job that will keep him at home for at least the next 5 years. I'm starting to feel like I was living his life. So I'm supposed to leave the UK in less than a month and I'm starting to get so anxious about being back home. Because of this, I suggested we get a therapist to help us navigate this sticky situation. Her main advice was to be happy wherever I am by relying on myself and not external forces to do so. I get that, but I also feel like there is nothing for me back home. I felt like I've tasted freedom and have had the space to see myself for me and not just his girlfriend. I don't want to give that up. So I guess I'd just love some ideas on how to navigate this and tips for making hard life decisions.
I think the big question here is whether or not you want to stay in the UK. Because you're saying that your time is running out in about a month. Well, you have to ask yourself, do you want to extend that? And if you do, it kind of sounds like you do. Like, it definitely sounds like you'd prefer to stay and you're really enjoying that freedom. And if that's the case, then you gotta listen to that. And it sounds like you love your boyfriend too, and maybe you wanna see how things go, but you don't want to just move back just to be his girlfriend and there's nothing at home for you, then
sounds like the decision has been made.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to push you one way or the other, but I will remind you, you're 22 years old. Like, that might seem like, from your perspective, that you're old and that you are young. You're so young at 22. And the idea, if you've tasted that freedom, and I totally get it because when I was 22, I moved to Spain. I lived there for 3 years. And during that period of 22 to 25 is when I actually really kind of clarified my path and what I wanted to do. And so I think that it's important to follow your heart here and follow your intuition. And if your head and your heart are in different places, and if your intuition is telling you to do something or not do something, then follow it. If you don't feel like going back home is the right call, and it sounds like you don't, then keep going, keep exploring, keep traveling, follow your passion. Being a chef, you have options. You could work anywhere in the world. And especially like you, if you wanted to travel more as a chef, like you could get a job on a super yacht and be sailing all across the Mediterranean. You know, there are so many different options for you.
And also, it's so much great experience for your cuisine, right? Mm-hmm. As a chef, like for you to travel the world is like one of the best things you could be doing because you, like, I know I get inspired to, I'm not a chef, but mm-hmm. I love cooking foods from places that I've been. Mm-hmm. And so I think you said it when you said in your email, there's nothing back at home for me. Because I know that your boyfriend's there, but the truth of the matter is that, like, he could still be there later. And if he has to be there for 5 more years, then it sounds like he is going to be home. And yeah, it creates the opportunity of, like, him finding someone else or you finding someone else. Mm-hmm. The question is, do you feel yourself still having that freedom of traveling the world? And then also the next question is like, well, can you try for a little while to see how it works to do long distance? And I know that that's hard. And I know that a lot of people would say no, but you could try it out for a little bit and you'll probably go home for the holidays and see him. You can see if it works out. I know that that's hard, but you know, if you could give it a try. It sounds like you guys went to a therapist and talked to her, and she kind of gave you some good advice about like being happy where you are, but that didn't really help you make the decision. But good on you for reaching out to a therapist, really, to try to get the best out of that situation, have a good conversation with him. But I think you know in your heart, and I'm not going to sway you one way or the other, like Alex said, that's not what we're here to do. We're here to give you our advice from our perspective in just this email that we can read from you. Cause obviously we don't get to have a full conversation with you about it, but in my heart, I feel like, you know, and I think that you said it in your email without even meaning to, it sounds like you know the answer.
Sometimes when we put words like and emotions to like pen to pad, it actually helps us come up with the answers ourselves. So maybe, you know, maybe you sit down and you pull out your journal or a piece of paper and you just start writing and say, this is how I feel. These are the pros. These are the cons, you know, and just see where your own thoughts take you. Cause you'd be surprised after maybe 5 or 10 minutes of just writing it and getting it out, getting the emotions out, you'll have a much clearer picture of where you stand.
The next question. Hi, Carrie and Alex. I hope you're doing really well. I'm 25 years old and working in a 9-to-5 corporate job that I do not enjoy. Since I can remember, I never knew what I wanted to do in my life. But at this point, I'm constantly anxious about where I am in my life. I am stuck with a job I don't like and I don't think I will do for a long time. But the main problem is that I don't know what I want to do. I cannot pick up an interest to make it into my career. I'm constantly confused. My interests change daily. Can you please give me some advice on what I should do? P.S. I have watched YouTube videos that tell you to write down your interests, what you are good at, and what the world needs. Find an intersection between the three, and that's what you gotta do. But somehow, it doesn't work for me. Also, I love your content over all platforms. Much love to all the fur babies and to you too. Thank you in advance. This one hits home for me because I'm pretty sure around the time, maybe slightly younger, but around the time that you are working in this job that you don't like, I was doing the exact same thing. I was working a 9-to-5 corporate job. I was working in banking. I didn't like it. It felt like it dragged on for a long time. I did it for about 4 years or so, maybe even closer to 5. And it was a hard time for me in like this anxious, what am I going to do with my life feeling, just like you're experiencing. First off, I think the important thing to remember in all of these situations is like that you're not alone in this life purpose question that we all have at different aspects of our life throughout our life. Like people in their 70s are wondering if they should keep working or retire. Like these questions about what should I actually do right now never really end. So it's about accepting that and honestly like realizing that you're not alone in it is important. That's like the first step in all of this is like, I can take a step back and realize that I'm not alone. Now, also, realizing that what you're doing right now is not what you're always going to be doing, and that you're not going to be stuck in this situation. It is a chapter of your life. It's a moment in time. And as you move forward in life, you're going to look back one day and you're going to be like, oh, that was a moment in my life and I did it. And you're going to have probably an aha moment where you go, oh, that's why I needed to do that because I learned that from this. And speaking more to how you can move out of this position that you're in, I have to go back a little bit and like explain how I got out of mine. And mine was essentially staying positive throughout as much as I could and saying, okay, what can I get out of this job right now? Oh, I can learn more about finances. Oh, I can have like a steady income coming in. And that means I can save this money here. Ooh, I get 2 weeks paid vacation. Amazing. I'm going to go travel for those 2 weeks and get out of these four corporate walls here because I'm bored with my life being in here. And that really helped me throughout that time. It's just kind of taking advantage of what a corporate job does give you. Because when I look back now, there were a lot of benefits of working a corporate job. that I don't have now being a self-employed person. So really like trying your best to make the best of the situation while you're in it, knowing that you won't always be in it. What I started doing was thinking about, what do I like? I love art. I love creativity. And so then my mom and I were like, oh, you know, she taught us one time at Christmas how to paint a certain art piece. And we were like, oh, that's super fun. And then we were like, what if we hosted wine and art parties? Because we did that as a family. And we like started reaching out to restaurants. And then my mom started teaching how to do these certain art pieces, and then I would host the events, and then we started like, we had like a little business that was a passion project for my mom and I. And it just stemmed from a scenario in our real life and a passion and a moment that we loved, and it became our career, our business. And then I was able to leave banking to go do that. And then because I had more flexibility, I started doing YouTube on the weekends. And then the YouTube thing kicked off. And so I was doing both of them for a while at the same time. And so I started my YouTube channel as a hobby. It wasn't a thing that I told nobody in my life that I was starting it, like, until it was an actual thing. But I was doing it because I liked it, because it was a hobby and an interest. And so I think that you just have to try different things, pay attention to different things, listen to the intuition that spark little things that bring you joy and say, that brings me a lot of joy. I'm just gonna do this on the weekends for a while and see where it goes. And as life evolves, you'll see that you'll end up where you want to be.
A lot of the phrases that you used were negative, in a sense that you were saying what you cannot do. I can't do this. I tried to find things that inspired me, but I can't. And I think that it's really important when you're at junctures of your life like this, where you are trying to figure out what your next step is, where you're trying to find your path, that you start to frame questions and situations in positive terminology, what you can do, where your power is, finding the things that you have control over, or if, you know, reframing problems to challenges, right? And in doing so, you'll start to empower yourself, which is going to be really important, because nobody's going to make these things happen for you, but you. And so I think that when you start to find yourself feeling a little bit lost, it's a good tactic. Something that I did earlier in my life was, I kind of knew what I didn't want to do, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so starting with a process of elimination, sitting down, putting some good music on, maybe having a like cup of tea or something, and getting out a piece of paper and a pen and just coming up with a list and saying, here are the things that I know that I don't want to do. And you could start with your current job and you could just work your way down. Because what you're doing there is you're eliminating options. I feel like half of the problem is what we have called decision fatigue. When we are overwhelmed with options and opportunities and choices, we end up not making any at all. And there's actually, in marketing, there are tactics that they use. You don't want to give people too many options because they end up not making any choices at all. So what this process of elimination will do, it's going to help you eliminate choices, which will leave you feeling less overwhelmed, less anxious, and therefore more capable of making a decision and finding a path. A really great book that might help you here is one of my all-time favorites. It's by the author Ryan Holiday. He's a modern-day Stoic philosopher. And his book, The Obstacle is the Way, is a great tool that you can use to feel inspired and to feel empowered. It's essentially the histories, the hidden histories of all of these really great, powerful people from the past, before they were the people that we know them for. And so it shows the decisions and the choices and the obstacles that they had to overcome in order to become these great people. And that's the other thing. These challenges, those are the things that forge us, right? Like iron is forged through repeated exposure of fire and being struck, like hit. And that's how you make the strongest metal. So look at it as an opportunity to become your best self by going through these challenges.
I think you had a really good point about it's the way that you say it, saying, I am learning so much from this current corporate job, and I will find something later that I enjoy more. I will end up doing something because you're right.
I can.
A lot of, or I am, right?
Mm-hmm. I am capable of finding a career that inspires me.
And that's what we talked about in a previous podcast episode, was like, whatever you are comes after I am. So you are whatever comes after I am. Like, yeah. I am not good at this. I am not interested in anything. I am not liking my job. Well, yeah, okay, that might be true. You might not like your job, but I am doing this right now and learning what I can, and I will do something better later on, because that is the truth. And so speak your truth out into existence.
Our thoughts become our reality.
They so do, you guys. Like, I can't even, it's just,
it's bizarre. It's like,
we talked about this before, I think.
But it's so true.
It is. It couldn't be more true.
We have a couple of other questions that have been sent in, but the main theme from them is struggling to find purpose. And I think that instead of going and answering those questions individually, maybe we just end this episode by giving some tips or tricks that can be applied to the situations that we all find ourselves in at certain times of our life, which is struggling to find meaning. And I like to start by just going back and thinking that this is a universal feeling. Ever since, in the Bible, when Adam is cast out of paradise, Adam and Eve are cast out of paradise, we are being like cursed to have to work, right? To work the land, to make a life happen. And I think that, I don't know who I was reading recently. I think it was in the book that I'm reading right now, Nomads, and is talking about like this struggle between settled societies and nomadic societies, and how settled people, we look at nomads with like a sense of longing. We're like, wow, you know, like I wish I could move like that through life and just pick up and go to greener pastures and just follow the seasons. And I think it's because that's in a really primal sense, like we as humans aren't supposed to be living the way that we're living right now. We're just not. We're not designed genetically to live like this, but it is our lot. It's what we have. And so we have to find a way to live our best lives in the situations that we find ourselves in. And so struggling to find meaning, especially since, you know, we've removed religion from our lives. Like many people don't even believe in any higher power whatsoever anymore. And so when we've done that, you know, we've replaced it with corporate capitalism. We've replaced it with, you know, consumerism, with buying things to make ourselves feel happy and feel fulfilled. And that is empty. That is an empty promise. Like there is nothing that you're going to be able to buy that will make those feelings go away. And so I think starting with that like framework and saying, I can't spend my way out of this. I have to find meaning in my life through different
experiences
or different thoughts. And part of this journey, and we're still on it, just to say, like Carrie and I, we're not sitting here on the homestead going, everything's perfect and we never have to
figure it all out.
No, like this is something that everybody goes through. It is a universal struggle and it's primal. Like we as humans in the modern world have to try to find meaning in a world devoid really of easy access to meaning. And so it's something that we all struggle with.
I think it's not, I wouldn't even call it a struggle. It is our life. Our life purpose is to grow and discover and pay attention. We all have an internal compass for a reason. And I think it's important for us to listen and to feel how our body feels in certain scenarios in life. You know, like you do something and you can feel your body, like you can feel when something feels right. And paying attention to that internal compass is our purpose. Because it's going to evolve and change over time, and we're going to evolve and change over time.
I remember reading, and I'm quoting this like off the top of my head, so I don't know if these numbers are exactly right, but just you being you and being here is something like a 1 in 5 billion chance. So when you start to think like my life is meaningless, like I don't, there's no reason for me to be here. Stop yourself, because there was a 1 in 5 billion chance that you're actually here. So you being here in itself is meaningful.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's honestly, you are a miracle. And that goes back to what we were talking about before. It's like just waking up and saying me being here is a lot. That's amazing.
And you know what? The alternative to that is literally nihilism. And nihilism is the belief that nothing matters. And that is a really dark road to go down. And if you've ever seen the movie The Big Lebowski, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, watch it. It's an all-time classic. But if you have, then you know what I'm talking about. Because don't worry about those people, Donnie. They're nihilists. You don't want to be a nihilist. Life has meaning, and it's just about finding it. It's about seeing it in all the little things. It's about knowing it deep within yourself. And yeah, I think that it's a gradual process.
It's about following purpose and feeling over goals and achievements and milestones, because it's too easy for us to get those confused. Follow your heart, follow your intuition, follow that just like feeling in your body. Sometimes things feel like coincidences, like, but you actually will pay attention to that and go, wait a minute, that's not a coincidence. Mm. That happened because I'm supposed to be moving in this direction. Or that didn't happen because I'm supposed to be moving in this other direction.
Sometimes the things that don't happen, it takes you a while, but you get further down your road and you're like, oh my God, like that was, it seemed at like the time that it was a big fail and that, you know, but it was actually exactly what needed to happen at that time.
The best thing that could have happened. We hope this episode at least just gave you some peace of mind that if you're in this current moment in life where you're just feeling like, where should I be going? What should I be doing? Just know that we're all with you on that. We're all experiencing moments of this same feeling throughout our lives at different times. And you're in it right now, but you will absolutely be out of it. And one day you're going to look back and go, whew.
Glad that's over.
Thank you for listening. We will chat with you all next week. Please remember to send in your situations or scenarios to soulsugarpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at soulsugarco, and you can find both of us individually on Instagram at Carrie Rad and at alexander.ailing. And we will see you. Or no.
We'll hear you.
We'll hear you.
We'll hear you in the next one.
No, we'll talk to you.
In your ear holes, right? That's what you like to say.
I'll see you, hear you, whatever.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.